We're back with more of Lake Effect on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North, and I'm glad to have your company. 2014 marks the centennial of the beginning of World War I. The horrors of that war are well documented. Years of trench warfare over a few feet of ground, the use of gas on the battlefield, and the more than 37 million total casualties, 10 million of them military deaths. That conflict also heralded the era of modern warfare with light-caliber machine guns and modern tanks. It also marked the beginning of the end of the use of horses in war, as they proved no match to their mechanized foes. Hundreds of thousands of horses also died on the World War I battlefields between 1914 and 1918. The story of one such horse pressed into war service, Joey, and the boy who raised him and loved him, is the center of the sweeping drama War Horse. Created by the National Theatre of Great Britain, it opened in London to great acclaim in 2009 and has been playing ever since. Joey is brought to life by three puppeteers in a handmade articulated horse body that's made by handspring puppets from South Africa. It weighs 120 pounds and can be and is ridden. The effects are startlingly lifelike. War Horse is currently playing at the Marcus Center, and two members of the touring company are from Wisconsin. Andy Trushinsky grew up in Marshall near Madison, and he's a graduate of UW-Whitewater. He plays Private Taylor, the battlefield confidant of the lead human character, Albert. Christy Ross Clausen from Appleton is behind the scenes. Well, above them, actually. We'll learn more in a minute. They join me in the studio now. Christy and Andy, welcome to Lake Effect. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Andy, let's start with you because you're on stage. Christy, we'll get to you because you're backstage. And okay. I do want to talk about the cool stuff that goes on back there. But Andy, you are Private Taylor in War Horse. This is an amazing show. Mm-hmm. And tell me about how you got involved in it.
Well, the show's been going on for a while. So there's a whole history before I even became involved, including a year before they've been on the road already. But how I got involved was I just saw a general call posted up at another audition I was doing in New York, and I've always wanted to be involved in it. Even back to what was about 2009 when I was hanging out with a friend of mine, Tyler, and he's like, "You got to see this video. You have to see this video." And I was like, "Okay, what is this? Another YouTube clip or something?" And he showed me a clip of War Horse. And ever since then, I knew I was like, that's something I want to strive to do one day. And eventually, I mean, I saw that audition posting, and I made my way toward it, and it just kind of got lucky, I guess. Daniel Swee, the casting director, liked what I did for the first audition, had me come back in, and then Sarna Lapine, who's the director, had me come in another time after that, and then I got the call from the agent on the way to a catering gig, and I got off the train, and right then, as I stepped off from the train, I saw the phone call from my agent. She's like, yeah.
You got the job.
You got it, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
And when you went to Marshall High School, did you think that you were going to be back here at the Marcus Center stage doing something like this?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, the reason I remember where it solidified for me that I want to be an actor is I remember I watched In the Name of the Father with Daniel Day-Lewis. And maybe, I guess, early on it was mostly like, I want to do movies. And then I got into UW-Whitewater and plays became the thing for me. I've always strived to tell great stories. And whenever one comes across my path, I try my hardest to get involved in it. And, you know, thankfully I'm here.
Well, and you used to study with someone that has sat across from me at this desk, too. And that's Angela Iannone, who's mm-hmm. a wonderful actress herself and playwright.
Yeah.
And so did the training at Whitewater set you up?
Oh, absolutely. I had no idea what I was doing before I went to school. I mean, I did some good things with Marshall High School. We had a very small theater program there, but when I went to Whitewater, I learned, of course, all the basics and the general things about theater and acting. But I remember Angela, she really helped me out with what I needed to learn, like what it took to be a professional, what it took to be involved in the business aspect of things. But most importantly, she was really good at teaching people how to be alive on stage and being present and being able to just be there for your scene partner. And that's what I latch onto now.
What's interesting in this show, of course, is some of the scene partners are actually puppeteers in puppets. And so you're dealing with a level of almost – it's like a double layer mm-hmm. of, you know, the puppeteers are not reacting to you. They're reacting to you through through the device itself.
Right.
How is that as an actor?
It's pretty miraculous how it happens. I mean, being able to see what they do as actors, as puppeteers – is nothing short of a miracle, because they are creating life on stage, and there's not very many opportunities, maybe even zero, for a lot of people to see such a thing like that. But being able to have that every day on stage, especially with the part I played, David Taylor is the confidant to the main character, Albert. Albert gets – that's most of his acting, is with a horse. And in a lot of ways, it is like acting with a scripted dialogue from another actor, because they'll give you a different take on how they'll nuzzle you or something as a horse, and then you can then play off that. And like I said, there's something miraculous about that. Where
and watching it, yeah. I have to say, it was amazing to see the way the human actors worked with the puppeteers and the puppets themselves, because you really felt that was a real entity mm-hmm. on stage. That wasn't fake.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Well, because like yes, the puppet is the middle part of it all, but you are just like as you're acting with someone with scripted dialogue, you're basing what you're going to say based on how they have said their line or how they look at this certain moment. It's the same way that you're going to do with how the puppeteers will move that puppet towards you. You'll take that on as yourself as well. And it's really fun because it's always an ongoing dialogue, and it will be different every night, because not only that, but there's different teams of horses as well. So you get a different head puppeteer who decides to be soft and gentle when it walks towards you. The other one kind of like will yeah. trudge towards you a little bit more.
Well, Christy, you are backstage yes. in all of this, and you're doing lighting on this, right?
I am. And actually, I'm at the proscenium line and a tower 25 feet in the air during the performance.
So are you on a follow spot?
Yes, I run follow spot, and we sit on top of the sound towers for this show. So I get to see everything on stage, plus I get to see about half of the audience every night. I get two shows.
That's pretty amazing. So what's the audience reaction been like?
It's been wonderful. And one of the things I love about this show is that we have audience members of all ages. The official press stuff says ages 10 and up. But if you're a parent, you know if your kid is really interested in horses or interested in military history and they're 8 or 9, they're going to come and they're going to love it too. So I look out at the end of the show and I'll see people gently weeping and trying to hide their tears. And people will jump to their feet screaming and cheering right at the very end. And you'll see scenes that are touching scenes, and you can see the audience reaction to that. So it's been a really great education for me in watching the audience.
Well, and also I imagine it's fun for you. Well, you have to pay attention to what you're doing and making sure you're staying on follow spot.
Yes.
But watching the differences, as Andy was saying, you know, between what this group of puppeteers is doing and how the action
yes.
unfolds on stage. For you, you're seeing it every night.
Yes. And it's interesting because I have my favorites that are a little bit easier for me to follow because they're a little more predictable. But then I also know that actors evolve as things happen over this course of their tour. They become a more codified group, and you can see how they're working together and how that evolves as we're going through the different cities. It's very enjoyable.
So how did you get involved in theater and technical theater specifically?
Well, my high school choir director told me there was no way I could make a living at it, and I set out to prove her wrong. I went to Lawrence University, majored in voice, worked in banking for a while, went back and got my teaching degree, and all along the way I've been working in technical theater. About 2 years ago, my husband, who had toured extensively, came home and said, "That's it, I'm done." And I said, "Okay, my turn." Within 3 days, I had a job offer. The next day, I got another job offer, and I've been out here ever since.
So what is it like touring through? We've talked to actors before about, you know, coming into a new town every day and or a new stage and having to get used to it. But from the technical side, I mean, you're responsible for loading everything in
yes.
and loading everything out and making sure it all works.
Yes.
So what is it like to be on the road with a tour like this, where you're out for a year or two?
The difficult part of this tour is that we have so many complex elements, and they have to be set in place in a very specific time frame. So it's very much like putting together a jigsaw puzzle in a new city every week. Literally. There are things that I can't do until the carpenters get the deck laid down. There are things that they can't do until we get some of the electrical cables run. And while we're doing that, the properties people are setting up their things. Because of how the tour is oriented, most of this is week-long sits. From the time I go to work on Sunday morning until midnight on Monday, I probably haven't had more than an hour or two of sleep. That's been the hardest part for me. But then we get a good night's sleep, come back in Tuesday, finish up, and the audience walks in the door Tuesday night, and it's all worth it.
So, yeah, Tuesday night was when I saw it at the press preview. How has the reaction here been compared to other places that you've both done the show?
It's been great everywhere we've gone, really. There's maybe nuances to it all, but the thing we commonly hear all the time is, I can't believe that horse wasn't real. You know, that's the thing we get all the time. And people are enamored with this story, and I think that goes back to – you got to give that give credit to Michael Merpargo, who wrote the original book. He wrote an amazing story, and through it all with the National Theater and Handspring – they've created something amazing that can stand the test of time and stand the test of location, because it's been seen by 4 million people throughout the world. And then specifically here with Milwaukee, it was – I mean maybe it's – I don't know. Maybe it's a bad thing to want this kind of reaction, but it's kind of good to see people with tears in their eyes, because you know you're doing your job then. You know, you were telling a moving, captivating story.
And you're doing it kind of in hometown, and certainly in home state.
Oh, yeah. This feels home, like home to me. I've worked here before.
Well, I want to thank you both for coming in so early in the morning after not much sleep and after your opening night. I really appreciate it. And best of luck with the rest of the tour.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Andy Trushinsky grew up in Marshall, Wisconsin, and graduated from UW-Whitewater. He plays private tailor in the Broadway touring company of Warhorse. Electrician and follow spot operator Christy Ross Clausen is from Appleton. Warhorse can be seen at the Marcus Center through Sunday. There's more information plus photos from the show on our website, wuwm.com/lakeeffect. We'll take one last break, and then Pulitzer Prize winner Paul Harding is back with a novel on a tough subject. We'll talk with him next on Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.